I want to invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Luke, the 14th chapter. Luke chapter 14, verses 15 all the way down through verse 24. We're going to be reading that text here in just a moment. As was announced by Brother Stevens, our gospel meeting is right around the corner next week. It just slipped up on me. I'm confessing that to you. It shouldn't have. I shouldn't have allowed it to do that, but it kind of slipped up on me. It finally dawned on me this past Wednesday, I guess it was, that, wait a minute, the gospel meeting starts next Sunday. So, well, what about that? Are we going to be prepared to make it successful? That's what I'm going to talk to you about this morning. And I want to use the scripture to try to encourage us to do what we can to make it a great success. Keys to a successful gospel meeting. And I want to jump right into the text, and I want to begin there in verse 14. Now, prior to verse 15, I said verse 14, verse 15, where we're going to start. But prior to that, Jesus is at a banquet. And then there is some points made that as Jesus is teaching regarding a great banquet. In fact, in verse 12, then he also said to him who invited him, when you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you are repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor and maimed and lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Well, then verse 15, the parable that Jesus gives. Beginning in verse 15, now when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then he said to him, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. But they with all with one accord, began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must go and see it. I ask you have to have me excused. And another said, I've bought five yoke of oxen, and I am going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. Still another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Verse 21, so that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor, and the maimed, and the lame, and the blind. And the servant said, Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room. Then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. I think you know where I'm going with this text already, don't you? You know what I'm about to say. There is a great feast prepared in the kingdom of God. In fact, that feast is available every time we come together and we worship God. We study His Word. We partake of the Lord's Supper as we have this morning. We are commemorating the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is a supper. But I want to say to you that the supper of God's Word, the feeding upon God's Word, is of vital importance to us all. And as we live in this modern day of technology and busyness, it's very easy for us to put that which should be in the front of our minds and at the top of our list of priorities, it's easy to put that on the back burner, so to speak, because we just have so many other things going on. And if we do that, eventually it will catch up with us and we will be not who we ought to be. The study of God's Word is extremely, extremely important to our lives. And in our day and time, the large majority of people simply have no time for that kind of thing. But I want to submit to you that it is of great importance to you. Secondly, you need it. You need the Word of God. And I'll say to you that Brother Casimir, I have heard him speak before. He is an excellent preacher of the gospel. And the lessons that he has chosen to present all deal with attitudes. And I've said this before. You know, our attitude, if it's wrong, everything else is going to be wrong. It all begins with our attitude, our perspective on things. How do we view things? If our perspective is wrong, it's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to get downtrodden. It's easy to slip away, drift away, fall away. It all begins, though, with our attitude towards faith, towards Jesus, and towards saving souls. That's going to be the topics next Sunday. Then Monday night, our attitude towards the world. How should we see the world? Attitude towards your soul, Tuesday night, and attitudes toward forgiveness on Wednesday night. Attitude towards heaven, Thursday night, and attitude towards eternity, Friday night. And if our attitude is right in all of these areas, we're going to be blessed. We're going to be an encouragement to others. We are going to be pleasing to God. So I really appreciate the topics that have been chosen for discussion and study next week. Now, what about us? Are we going to be here? Are we going to participate and be an encouragement to others? I first want to begin with this question. Why have a gospel meeting? I've actually answered that, haven't I? I've actually answered that. Because of the importance of God's Word and the study of it and our understanding of it. But I want to suggest to you, first and foremost, to seek and to save the lost through the proclaiming of the gospel. God's Word is the power that He has exerted in this world to save men. And Paul says in Romans 1 and verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all that believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Are we ashamed of the gospel of Christ? I'm not going to say that anyone is. I'm not going to point fingers, but I just want to ask the question, are we ashamed of the gospel of Christ if we're afraid to tell our neighbor or our friend, our co-worker about the gospel of Christ? Are we moved by fear to be silent regarding the gospel of Christ? In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is essential to salvation, Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Therefore, it is essential that we hear God's Word. Why have a gospel meeting? So that the Word of God be preached. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 2, Paul tells Timothy to preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but to themselves they will heap teachers, and having itching ears, they will turn their ears from the truth unto fables. Preaching the Word. It may not be popular today to hear the gospel. It may be much more popular to come hear a series of lessons on what makes everybody think, feel good about themselves. You know, Joel Osteen and those kind of evangelists are very popular today. But they're popular not because they preach the word, but because they don't. And that's a very important aspect of what we are about and what we're striving to do. We want to preach the gospel. And whether people want to hear it or not is irrelevant to the fact of what we must do, what we are to be about, and that is to preach the gospel. Because we are commanded to preach it, to teach it, when people want it and when they don't. So, we need to preach the gospel. To be revived or to recommit to our first love. You know, many refer to what we're going to do next week as a revival. And we have shied away from that because of the denominational world and how they use that term. But I will submit to you that there is an important aspect of what we're trying to do in preaching the word to revive ourselves. You know, in Psalms 85 and verse 6, Psalmist pleaded with God to revive him, and that is accomplished through the Word. We need to be awakened to our need and to our responsibilities in Christ in Revelation chapter 3 in verses 15 through 19. You know, there are several churches, seven of them, that the Lord is speaking to in Revelation chapter 3 in verses 15 through 19. He's speaking specifically to the church at Laodicea, where he says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, therefore be zealous and repent. We perhaps need to be revived as well. On an individual level, we have members who need to be encouraged and strengthened. And to avail yourself of hearing the Word of God preached, I can think of nothing better to encourage you and to give you that revival that you need spiritually, that you may be faithful to God. To exhort one another and to love and to good works. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. You know, the Hebrew writer mentioned the need to do that daily. Encourage one another. Edify one another daily. He says there in verse 12 of Hebrews chapter 3. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Verse 13 says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Verse 15, he says, while it is said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. Today, every opportunity that we have, we are to be strengthened through God's word. Take advantage of the opportunity that we'll have next week in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. You know, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That last part of verse 25, to me, is it's important because he says, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Why is it that sometimes when we begin to be discouraged or we begin to have some difficulty in our serving God, things seem to be harder? So the first thing that we do is we make excuses to attend less and less. We drift away and we attend less and less. Instead, we ought to be attending more and more. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. We need to be strengthened more and more instead of less and less. We need to be people who are desiring, wanting to be present every time that we can so that we can be strengthened and we can also strengthen others. Why have a gospel meeting? To seek and save the lost, to be revived, and to exhort one another to love and good works. Many think, well, they don't work anymore. Well, there may be some truth to that. It's kind of like what I mentioned last Sunday morning. Why are churches, many churches of Christ, not growing as we think that they should? The reason, well, there could be some fault and some problems with the preaching or the teaching or the leadership or the members. There could be a lot of things, but I'll say to you that the main reason is just as Jesus suggests in John chapter 6. And that is that people do not love the truth. They're consumed with worldly things. More important things are on our plate than God and His Word. And I'm afraid, sadly, that is the reality. But just because something is not drawing in the masses does not mean that it is not working. Just because we do not fill the building does not mean that it is not successful. Because I'll submit to you that every person that comes, every person that hears, every person that participates, to them it will be successful. It will be beneficial. I assure you of that. Anytime that you open your heart to the Word of God and you give your time to a study of it, you are going to be benefited from it. I assure you of that. The meeting will be counted a success if just one person attends, listens, and is increased in their knowledge of God and is strengthened in their faith. If there is just one person here that is strengthened, I'll submit to you, it's successful. It's successful. Of course, we don't just want one person to attend, do we? We want everyone, as many as possible, to attend so that we can all be strengthened, to have our knowledge of God increased. So, it will be successful. I guess the question from a relative perspective, will it be successful for you? That depends on whether or not you choose to participate. And I want to submit to you some keys to a successful gospel meeting are as follows. Number one, provision. The congregation here is providing an opportunity to feast upon the bread of the kingdom. In Luke chapter 14 and verse 15, the man says to Jesus, blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. And so Jesus takes that, and yes, that is exactly right. But many will make excuses why not to partake of the bread of the kingdom. Well, the opportunity is being presented next week to feast upon the bread of the kingdom. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 2 and following, as he's being tempted by Satan to turn these stones into bread, Jesus responds by quoting Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3. Man, as it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Here is the word of God. Here is the food upon which we are to feast. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, Peter says, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. The food speaking of here is God's word. And we are to take it. Yes, it is simplistic at first, and we can take in what we can. We take the milk of the word. But then we're to grow, as Hebrews chapter 5 tells us. We are to grow so that we can move on to meat and to grow stronger and stronger by feasting upon the word of God. The psalmist says in Psalms 119 and verses 97 through 104, oh, how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day. Is that our attitude towards God's word? In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 15 through 17, Paul, there as he's talking to Timothy, points out that from a child he had known the Holy Scriptures, which was able to make him wise unto salvation. For all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly equipped unto every good work. In our Scripture reading in Acts the 10th chapter, in verse 24, Cornelius, after having an opportunity presented to him to have the word of God preached, he calls all of his friends together. And they have come to hear the things commanded of by God. In Acts the 10th chapter, going up to verses 1 through 8, we find Cornelius as he is in prayer. He is seeking God, and an angel appears to him and has him send to Joppa for one called Simon Peter. So Cornelius does just that. Peter then, as he is up on top of this house, he sees a vision preparing him for the coming invitation to come and preach the gospel to this Gentile. Well, when the men arrive after Peter's vision, he recognizes that this was the purpose for the vision, and that he willingly then goes with them as the Holy Spirit had instructed. And it says in verse 24, in the following day they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, stand up, I myself am also a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. Then he said to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore I came without objection. As soon as I was sent for, I asked them, for what reason have you sent for me? So Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon the tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. It's an opportunity. Opportunity to feast upon God's word. Are we doing what we can to prepare ourselves to be present? But also, what about our friends and our neighbors like Cornelius? Have others come and to hear the gospel preached. The lost need to be saved. And I want to submit to you, there are three things that we really do need to stop and think about. As we look around us in this world, there are many on their way to hell. Do we really believe that? Do we really believe that the majority of people around us that we talk to every day, they're on their way to hell? Do we really believe that? I'll submit to you, and it's very true, that the large majority, we can't save because they don't want to hear it. The greatest preacher and teacher that ever lived didn't save everybody he taught. In fact, there came a time when the large majority of his followers turned away from him and followed him no more because they didn't like what he had to say. And that very well may be true, but you know what? He still gave himself. He gave himself to the fullest extent. He gave of himself all that he had so that we could be saved. What are we giving to try to save those who are around us and lead them to Christ? Who can save them? Restoring the erring. We have many right here who have fallen away or are in the process of falling away. Do we recognize the importance of trying to get them back? And it is only the Word of God. And again, you know, people who are determined not to do what God says, we're not going to be able to force them to do what's right. I wish it was that simple. I wish we could manipulate and force people to do what they ought to do. And as time goes by, that desire in me is growing and growing and growing. There's nothing that I can do about it. Just pray and take advantage of every opportunity that I have. Well, guess what? This upcoming week, we have an opportunity to do what we can. Restore the erring. To strengthen the saved. Now, that's us. We can be present and we can be strengthened ourselves. We can come to a greater knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3, verse 18. We can come to a greater knowledge and understanding ourselves of what we ought to be doing. Ephesians 4, 15 and 16, how we fit in to the big picture of this body. And so we can be strengthened ourselves. So the provision has been made. What are we going to do about that? As individuals, what are we doing to prepare ourselves? You know, we prepare for important events. We prepare for weddings and vacations or even a special meal. You know, if we're having some people over to the house, we'll make preparations. We'll clean the house. We will buy the food. We'll prepare the food. We'll invite those people, make sure that they're coming. You know, we'll set the time. We'll do all the things necessary to make it a success. What about a gospel meeting? Do we do those things necessary to prepare ourselves for the feast, both physically and spiritually? I'll submit to you that physically there may be some things that we need to do, but just because our body is present within the walls of the building, that does not necessarily mean we're going to benefit, does it? We also have to make some spiritual preparations. We need to make some heart preparations. Yeah, first of all, we need to plan to attend, be present. So we need to clear our schedule, make arrangements, so that we'll be able to attend. We need to put the things of God first. You know, Psalms 22 and verse 1, the psalmist said 122 and verse 1, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. Is that our attitude, and are we making, therefore, the preparation to physically be present? Secondly, what about preparing our heart? You know, we can go into gospel meetings and be negative, you know, it's not going to work. We can go in thinking it's not going to be successful. There's nothing that we can accomplish from this. People are tired. I'm tired. I don't want to be there. And so we look at it that way. How successful is that meeting going to be for me? I need to change my attitude. By the way, the meeting might very much help you because it is all about attitudes. I need to be optimistic and enthusiastic personally. I need to have an optimistic attitude so that I am equipped and prepared to receive God's word myself. I do need to watch out, guard my heart, Proverbs 4 and verse 23. I need to govern my heart. We hear a lot these days about, well, just follow your heart. Just follow your heart. No, my friend, you better lead your heart or you're going to wind up in some serious trouble in life. Okay? We need to guard our heart. We need to make the commitment to do what we ought to be doing and govern our heart, prepare our heart to do what it ought to do and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save our souls, James 1, 21. We need to invite others to come as Cornelius did. We need to send out invitations. They're made available to you. They're, as Benny mentioned, they're out there on the foyer, the paper handouts. We also have it available. The email that's sent out on Friday, there's an attachment that you can download, that you can send it out. You can email it. You can go to our website and also download and forward a copy of the PDF file. So there are a lot of ways that you can pass the information along. Post it on your Facebook page. Tweet it. Do whatever you can to pass the word along and invite others to come. Are we willing to bring others to Christ and try to encourage them to hear the gospel? What about praying? We need to be praying for the gospel. Cornelius was praying when the angel came to him and told him to send to Joppa for Simon Peter. Praying. Are we praying for the success of the meeting? Do we pray for our own hearts and our own reception to the Word of God and for others? Do we pray for the preacher that's coming? The Apostle Paul asked the church at Ephesus to pray for him in Ephesians 6, verses 18 and 19. What about for the lost? The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, he is praying zealously for his brethren in the flesh because they are lost. Do we recognize that they are lost in their need? For the erring, 1 John 5 and verse 16. Now there are some, certainly, that there are some things that we are not to pray for. What are we not to pray for? We're not to pray that God forgive people in their sins while they sin as they continue in their rebellion against Him. But certainly, we are to pray for their repentance. We are to pray for their return to God. We need to be praying for the saved. That's us. The Apostle Paul prayed in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11 for the church at Colossae, praying that they be increased in their knowledge and their understanding of God's word. We need to be praying for ourselves that we too receive the word of God and use it to motivate us to greater service. Presence, okay, preparedness is important. But then, okay, next week we actually need to be here. We need to be present, both physically and mentally. And think about your presence. Look around this morning. I realize that there are many who are sick and unable to be here. There are those who are elderly and unable to get out. There are those who have problems that are preventing them from being here. I realize that. And I'm not talking about them, and I'm not talking about them next week. But those who are able, and in fact, if you look around this morning, there are a lot of empty pews. Is that encouraging or is that discouraging? There are some who are out of town. In fact, got an email from Amy. She responded back to the bulletin that was sent out by email. They're in Kansas. Braden is in a tournament in Kansas, and national tournament for wrestling, and you know that they're out of town, and we have others who are out of town. But there are some people who are not here simply because they don't want to be. They've made a choice not to be. They have something more important to do. Is that encouraging or is that discouraging? And attendance by visitors during the week, that's one of the encouraging things about gospel meetings, is others come and they encourage us. It's uplifting to us to see other brethren from other congregations come. It's encouraging for us to look around and see visitors from the community. In fact, that's even more encouraging. We realize that we're getting the word out. As far as the members of this congregation, you know, there's something on the front of our bulletin. I don't know how often we recognize it, but it makes the point that your attendance is both expected, is needed, and expected. And I think that some kind of forget that. We don't think about the effect of our absence on others. We need to stop and think about that. That's why the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, to edify and to encourage one another to love and to good works. That is our positive commandment. If we willfully choose not to do that, are we really pleasing God? And this gets to the point, let us not be guilty of making excuses for absence. Luke 14, 15 through 24. We read about this, and I know that you were thinking as I was reading the text a little earlier, yep, there, he's going to be talking about excuses before long. He's going to be talking about those who choose not to attend. Yes, I am. I want you to note something in that text. As Jesus is giving this parable, he responds regarding those when it is returned back to him, saying that there were those who made excuses in verse 21. So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry. Do you think the Lord is pleased or displeased when we make excuses not to attend, not to assemble with the saints, not to be an encouragement to the work of the congregation? Do you think that is pleasing or displeasing to the Lord? You know, when you think about gospel meetings, it gives us an opportunity to kind of test our faith, if you will. Where are your priorities in life? What is your attitude towards the gospel itself? What is your concern for the lost? Your support for your brethren, is it there? Matthew 6 and verse 33, we're to seek the kingdom of heaven first, the kingdom of God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Do we really put the Lord first in our life? Participation. Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. If we participate, we will be blessed. You know, when people come in, they need to be visited with an enthusiastic welcome. And we are a very friendly congregation here. And people who have visited has made that known to me. Very, very friendly. Something that needs to be increased. But you know what? You can't do that if you're not present. So need to be present so that we can be here to be friendly, to welcome others who are visiting with us. And when we're singing, we need to sing in a spirited manner with grace in our hearts. We, as a congregation, are very good when it comes to singing. And that is accomplished, however, only if we're here. And the singing is very uplifting and encouraging to those who participate. Listen carefully to the lessons. I believe that the lessons that have been selected by Brother Casimir in our upcoming meeting are specifically equipped to be an encouragement to us. And we need to take special note and place special importance on not only being here, but being active listeners, taking note, and examining the things that are said and applying them to our own life. And then after the services, stick around and welcome and talk with those who are visiting with us. And of course, talk to each other. Be an encouragement. Well, I've got some questions. And basically, Those are the things that I want you to think about. But I've got some questions. You know, in Luke, the 14th chapter, verse 23, Jesus said, "Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled." The message of the gospel, is it worthy of your support? Is it worthy of you going out and trying to get others to listen to it, to hear it? Is the gospel worthy? It's not about, is this congregation worthy? It's not about whether the preacher is worthy. It's not about anything except the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is Jesus Christ worth you sharing him with others and his message? Secondly, is the hearing of the gospel worthy of your attendance? Is it worthy of you being present and you hearing the word of God spoken and taught? Is the value of the gospel worthy of you sharing it with others? How valuable is the gospel to you? The feast is prepared. And this gospel meeting is going to be a success. The question is how successful will it be? And that is dependent upon you. That's dependent upon each and every one of us. If this gospel meeting is successful for me, I have to be present. I have to participate. I have to receive what's taught. And if the success of this gospel meeting depended solely on me, how successful would this gospel meeting be? Sadly, there are some. If the gospel meeting's success depended upon them, nobody would be here to hear it. Are we going to do what we can? The provision has been made. The times have been set, and Lord willing, that the world lasts until next Lord's Day, our gospel meeting will begin, and the opportunity for you to come and feast upon the Word of God will be made. What preparations are you making to make it a success for you as an individual? What are you doing to ensure that you are and can be present? I realize there are many things out of our hands when it comes to that. I understand that. The Lord understands that. But what about those excuse makers in Luke, the 14th chapter? Well, I bought a piece of property and I have to go see it. I've just bought some oxen and I have to go test them. I just got married. I got a wife. I can't come. What excuse is going to be accepted by God? Participation. Am I going to be here and participate enthusiastically and be ready to encourage others? Will we do what we can to make the meeting a success? I hope that it's encouraging to you that we think about it and talk about it and be encouraged to be here and make it a great success. But again, that's up to us. That's up to each and every one of us. And understand that the feast has been prepared. The gospel message has been delivered. It's been revealed. And we have an opportunity this morning to feed upon it. And of course, next Lord's Day, we will have the beginning of an entire week of feasting upon the Word of God. And I hope that's valuable and important to you. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian. You know, the feast is prepared. And all the blessings that Christ has given to us are available to us. And the hope of heaven is here. Are we doing what we can to feed upon what God has provided? And have we been obedient to Him? If you're here, you've never obeyed the gospel. The Lord has given Himself for you. Will you feed upon Him? Will you partake of Him? Will you be saved by Him? Because as the song says that we're about to sing, there's a great day coming. Don't make excuses and anger the Lord your God. Submit to Him. If we can help you in any way, we ask that you come as together we stand and sing.